Listening to the word of God keeps our lamps lit and our hearts ready. Listen, hear, receive, choose to let God in. Our Old Testament scripture comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3 and 14 through 25. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the leaders, the elders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and Egypt and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, those who in the land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up and out of Egypt. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield in your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now our New Testament scripture comes from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. And the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in the middle of football season right now. And let me ask you, do you have a team that you like to root for, whether it's professional or college? I grew up with the Steelers in my family, and we all had our terrible towels, and we knew exactly what to do with them. My mom and my aunt were from Pittsburgh, so our family gathered together to watch these games and to eat and to root for our team. Years later, the Buccaneers came along, also known as the Bucks. It finally came through, and Tampa got their professional football team everyone was hoping for. And you can bet we had all the paraphernalia, the hats, the shirts, even the glasses to drink out of. My mom and dad even had season tickets for several years. Now, if you're a college football fan, you know the longstanding rivalry between the Florida Seminoles and the University of Florida Gators. And they have been rivals for many, many years. I have had friends who you're either root for the Seminoles or you're nothing, or you root for the Gators or you're nothing. And that's a very strong rivalry there. And then along came the University of South Florida and the Bulls. So they threw another one in to the mix. But those are the ones that we have in Florida. And some of you may be fans of other colleges outside of Florida. One that I'm very familiar with, especially in some of the areas around here, are Alabama's Crimson Tide, Roll Tide, or LSU, the Ohio State Buckeyes, Michigan, and maybe yours was not mentioned now, but it's just as important to you. Now, those of us who are football lovers, we spend at least one afternoon a weekend enjoying the games, if not both Saturday and Sunday. And some of us invite family and friends over. They bring a dish to share. And of course, we're all decked out with our clothes and stuff, ready to root for our team. And if you're anything like my in-laws, who are very passionate about their football, the room gets very loud at times, especially during touchdowns and controversial plays. Avid football fans devote much of their time in the fall and the winter months watching football. And they may even participate in a fantasy football league, or they might bet on the teams winning or the scores of the game. Oh, and don't forget about those football pools. I know my family especially loves to have a football pool running on Super Bowl Sunday. And we all are excited about who's going to win the money, the pot, at the different quarters of the game. Now, football is not the only sport that gets this kind of devotion. And it might be baseball, it might be soccer, basketball, volleyball, tennis, golf. Oh, and for some of you who are not real big sport games, maybe it's NASCAR racing. That would be my husband's favorite. If you think about it, one can find something to devote themselves to throughout the entire year. And we enjoy these events because they're something we depend on for entertainment and also for a reason to gather with others and to enjoy them. But you're probably wondering, how does this relate to our scripture today? See, no other team is as important as ours, yours and mine, at least in our heads. And we know that none of them are as perfect and loving as our God is to us. God is steadfast and never lets us down. How many of our teams have let us down this season already? In Joshua chapter 24, it opens with a scene of gathering leaders and the people of Israel in Shechem. This is a well-known place for covenants to be made. And Joshua's address to the Israelites was a covenant renewal ceremony. This is where Joshua was strongly urging them, the Israelites, to make a choice of who they will serve. This choice must be made by the Israelites because they have swayed their loyalties from serving God to serving the foreign gods of these people who they live among. In the ancient Near East, people worshipped many lesser gods, such as one for the sun, one for the rain. They might have had one for fertility of the crops, and they even had a god for the fertility of people. See, they wanted to have large families because those large families were the ones that helped to reap the harvest and to plant all the grains and to keep everything going because they were a people of farming. All of which would bring prosperity to these foreign people in return for their devotion and worshiping practice. Culturally, this is what was taught and practiced through each generation. And when the Israelites entered this land, they were exposed to the practice of these lesser gods, and many began to follow these practices. Joshua was trying to get the Israelites to repent and to recommit themselves to serving only God. Now, if we back up a moment to Joshua chapter 23, we will read that Joshua gave warnings to the leaders of the Israelites. And these warnings included to steadfastly observe the commandments introduced by Moses and then renewed by Joshua as the Israelites entered the land of Canaan. And there was a reminder given to the Israelites not to mingle with or to intermarry the people of the land of Canaan. This was for the fear that they would be tempted to follow their customs. The Israelites were warned not even to mention the names of these lesser gods. And they were told to hold fast to loving the Lord their God. All of which we can see applies to our scripture today. Joshua then reviewed God's initiatives and provisions for the Israelites. And this history began with God initiating Moses as God's mediator, and then Aaron, the high priest, to be the leaders who were sent to direct the Israelites to fulfill God's plan. It was through their leadership that the Israelites were brought out of Egypt and they safely crossed the Red Sea. And Moses then turned over his leadership role to Joshua, who would lead the Israelites into Canaan, the promised land of milk and honey. The Israelites were led into battle after battle, conquering both people and taking over the land. And this land was to be set apart for the Israelites alone, and to be cleansed of these cultural differences, namely of the false worship of gods. Joshua reminded the Israelites of how God turned a curse into a blessing, allowing deliverance out of Balaam's hands. Listen carefully. When Balaam, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. This was God speaking. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. All of these things historically shared the provisions and fulfilled promises of God. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and the olive trees that you did not plant. God reminded the people of Israel that their present position in the land was entirely God's doing. They would not have all of this if it weren't for God making it happen. It was not due to their military powers. When God caused the events to work out for the Israelites, they weren't able to see God's hand in it, and therefore it commonly was attributed to merely chance or coincidence. Now, because of all that God had promised and provided, Joshua challenges the Israelites to give a proper response to God. Whom shall they serve? Really, if we think about this question carefully, this applies to us even today. Whom will I serve? We have so many things that bid for our time. And it might not be sports. It could be TV, movies. Oh, how about binge watching our favorite series on Netflix? Social media tends to catch us up on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram and Snapchat. And if you're not sure what those are, ask any of the youth in this congregation. They know how to use it and they're very efficient with it. My daughter taught me. These tend to be just a few of the false gods of our time that we devote great amounts of time to each day. And this is a time that God wants and desires for us to set aside, to devote to building a relationship with, serving, and worshiping God. Joshua gives the Israelites a choice to serve the Lord or not. He expressed making this choice three times in our passage today, and the repetition of making a choice creates urgency and importance. First, the New International Version reads, "Serve him with all faithfulness," which literally means serve him with integrity and truth. Integrity could be replaced with the words undivided attention or giving full attention to God. Having nothing to compete with our attention to God. The New Revised Standard Version reads insincerity and faithfulness. Sincerity means giving quality or having freedom of mind. I like this one too, or being unhindered from other thoughts. Whether you choose to fear or revere the Lord, both of those words have meaning that regard to someone being the Lord, being worthy of great honor. And this is who we need to be looking for and spending time with. Joshua, as a leader and devout follower of God, was urgently impressing upon the people of Israel what they should do. God desired and deserved the complete and loyal devotion from God's chosen people, the Israelites. Secondly, God sets an example by professing to all of Israel, "For me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And in sharing his decision and pledging his loyalty to serving God, this prompted the people to follow suit. Their eyes had been opened by the reminder of the historical journey that they and their ancestors had traveled, and the Israelites then professed their loyalties to serve the Lord their God also. They claim God as their own to serve and worship and follow. It is then that Joshua remarks that the Israelites are not able to serve the Lord. He stated that God himself would not forgive their rebellion and sin. Joshua's argument included two of God's defining characteristics. First, God is a holy God. And second, God is a jealous God. Now, both of these characteristics are a part of God's very nature. And it is these very characteristics that set God apart from all other gods and from his people. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Now, God's holiness is revealed to us as one reads about the building of the tabernacle, the offering of sacrifices, and in the celebrating of festivals, all of which can be found in the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch. Wherever God was, that place was considered holy. Those places were given great care, whether it was a piece of ground or a physical structure, such as a tabernacle or the altar, or even a day dedicated to God, the Sabbath. These were the places where the people of God could serve, worship, and devote their time to being with God. Now, it is God's jealous nature that sets God apart from all other gods. And the second commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Listen. "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth below, or in the waters beneath. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousand generations of those people who love me and keep my commandments." Now, God loves God's people so much that God wants our undivided love in return. And it is made clear in this commandment that God will not share the Israelites or us with any other god. God does extend to us grace for those who are willing to repent and to actively change their ways. And this is the good news, people. Joshua then, for the third time, offers the choice to the people of Israel, but with the commitment that they are witnesses to each other, to keep them accountable for the choice that they make. And once their commitment is made, Joshua commands them to throw away all the foreign gods and to turn their hearts to focus on devoting themselves to being in a relationship with God. The people of God should be totally devoted, blameless in the worship of their God. And this was not a one-time commitment or a one-day commitment. Joshua challenges them to renew their passion for serving the Lord their God each and every day of their lives. And this is true for us. The pastor of the church that I grew up in completed his undergraduate degree at the University of Florida. And he is a diehard, devoted Gator fan. And he loves rooting for his team. Every week they play, he's watching. And if they lose a game, he comes in to church on Sunday to preach in the pulpit dressed in all black. Whether you watch the game or not, you could look at him and see what happened at the game the day before. Now, on the games that they won, he would wear something or hold up something representing his Gators. And as a congregation, we became very used to this practice, and we used to egg him on a little bit. It was a running joke that we would be like wondering before the service, if we hadn't seen the game the night before, how the Gators had gone. And he would sometimes heckle the other people in the congregation if they were a Seminoles fan or whoever it was that played the Gators that won or lost. He would heckle them a little bit. And that was usually part of his opening. And we'd have a giggle, and we knew that it was just good fun. So As we are devoted to our favorite things, we should even be more devoted to our God, keeping in mind God, then family, and then everything else. And just like we are passionate about our football or sports teams, and maybe it's another hobby or something on social media, we need to remember our love and devotion to the Lord our God. It is important to us for us to set aside a special time and a place each and every day to worship the Lord through the reading of our Bible, or prayer, and in the ways we serve those around us. It's so easy to get caught up in all the societal things that distract us from what is truly important. And it's something that I need to keep in check every single day. I'm sure as you think about it, it might be a challenge for you as well. It's only that when we allow these distractions to pull us away from what is truly important, that our relationship with and in serving the Lord our God, that we need to reassess what is best for our life. God wants us to be passionate about our relationship with God and to go out there and share God's love with others. We are called to love and serve the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength. And it is when we become obedient and choose to devote our time and service to God that we allow God to transform us from our rebellious and sinful ways into a more peaceful and fulfilled person. Our passion and zeal for living a faithful life of serving God will grow abundantly when we do this. Now the question for you today is, whom will you serve? Bow your heads in prayer with me, please. Almighty God, please let this message today settle into our hearts and guide us to reassess our priorities. Help us to understand how much you love us. You extend your grace to us even when we rebel and slip into our sinful ways, and for this we are truly grateful. Ignite within us a passion to love and to serve you, Lord, that only you can fully understand. And reassure us through the choices that we make that your presence is not distant from us. Amen.